Welcome to Boiling Point, the podcast to motivate ever-evolving entrepreneurs and forward-thinking movement pioneers. Our hosts, filmmaker Greg Hemmings and executive coach Dave Vail, are turning up the heat in the world's business communities. Our interviews with entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and movement makers are raising the temperature of inspiration. Live from the hottest studio in this quadrant of the universe, here are Dave and Greg.
Hey, Boiling Pointers. Thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode. Before we start, Dave and I want to let you know all about our Boiling Point Process online courses, live events, and masterminds. After interviewing hundreds of leaders, we've packaged a ton of knowledge together to serve up to you. Info that will help you and your company be heard in a very noisy marketplace. So visit www.boilingpointprocess.com and sign up for the email newsletter, and we'll let you know when our next cohort or event is. Thanks also for supporting The Boiling Point by subscribing to us on iTunes and also leaving a rating for us. Dave, it's been a little while, man, like a number of weeks since the audience has heard you and me without our good friend, Dr. Bill Howitt. So this is a special little insert of old school Boiling Point.
That's right.
We're in two different places right now.
Totally. And we got, and this is a very timely one. We've got an old school guest coming in, someone we've interviewed twice before, but only recorded once. He reminded of us, but Greg, when Matt reached out and I put it out to you, we both agreed like, yeah, we gotta talk, because very important for small business to be hearing this, given the crisis that we're all dealing with, COVID-19, we're all in different locations right now, self-isolating. And we're going to bring Matt Sims into the conversation. And Matt, start with just how are you personally doing right now, and how are you feeling?
Yeah, you know, we live with other clients in crisis, and we normally have a pretty good handle on managing our own company. But this nailed us, right? Like, we just bought a sign company in January, United Sign and Trimline. We had to lay off 13 of the 18 in there. As we try to rebuild that business, because nobody's buying a sign right now. Right. And all of our revenue just fell off a cliff. And so that Sunday night was the most difficult night I've had as a business owner since we started. I got an hour of sleep. I had to have layoff conversations in two companies. I had to move straight from layoff conversations to let's get moving on a plan and let's get past this. The only way's through. So how am I holding up? I'm used to working with companies in crisis, but we're going through this with everybody. This sucks.
Yeah.
Okay. There's no other way to say it. And it's hard as hell on a business owner, because not only do you have the pressures of your personal life, but you've got other people's lives in your hands and something dramatic, all out of control, nothing you could have done, is now influencing people you've spent years with. You know, you've got memories of them. I could drone on about this, but just to say, listen, this is, I haven't gone through anything harder in my life.
Yeah. And it just has an interesting, you know, there's always silver linings, right? I think the three of us are optimistic enough to know that we will get through this.
Yeah.
But what an incredible opportunity for both of you, Dave in the coaching space, and you, Matt, in the simplicity design. Just really quickly explain the space that you're in.
We help organizations get out of crisis and then scale. And okay. So it's awesome.
So for you both to go to your clients and say, yeah, we know all the theory, we know all the case studies, but we've all actually gone through it ourselves. Like that's powerful. So, this is you guys sharpening your swords. And for Hemmings House, you know, as video storytellers, we're in the same boat. Like if we can help companies continue to message, and if we can prove that we can stay alive by telling our own stories, then let's look at this as a time to grow our skills and get stronger.
Yes, there's opportunity. I do appreciate, and part of what I really enjoyed last time we talked, Matt, was just your authenticity and just rawness. So thank you for bringing that in, because so many people are going through exactly what you're going through. on the coaching side, you know, like the kind of our business model is that we are starting and currently engaged with, you know, a number of leaders between our roster of coaches, and the stories I'm hearing are heartbreaking, man. And it's just crazy, crazy things. And, you know, I can't share specifics obviously, but it's just, it's hard on the head. And we're all going, well, when we're trying to support other people, we're like, well, you know, what do we point to? Where do we go? And what I like is you have a playbook that your father, Merv, would have developed a number of years ago, and you guys have been using for businesses in crisis, and now you're doing these podcasts, and maybe share with people what's happening, because we want to get, you know, this kind of information into the hands of others, and there's some stuff you guys are doing on a daily basis as well. So maybe you could share a little bit of that, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. We're working, you know, 2008, a major crisis hit, 9/11, a major crisis hit. My father's been through four major economic crises. They were all economically driven, not pandemic driven. The last time the world seen something like this is 1919. So, you know, there's only a few people who were even alive then who are still alive. But through those four economic crises, there, if anybody tells you they have a magic bullet or can wave a wand and help you, they're full of shit. They can't. But what they can do is help you develop a forecast of what you think's going to happen, help you get to a plan of attack based on that forecast, and then help you execute it. And what's going to happen is as you execute it, you're going to learn. So you're going to go through the iterations, right? I'm watching all these people come in and say they can save your world, only if they're going to sit with you and learn as you execute. That's it. And so, you know, I went through those a little quick, but I'll back up to each one of them. The tendency is here to panic and act. The problem with that is you don't have a very good chance of doing the right things. So we got to back up and go, I need a forecast. I need a forecast of my customers and how it's going to impact them in the short term and in the long term. And from that, I'll get a forecast of cash. And then from that, I need to look at a forecast of constraints I'm going to have in my supply chain, in how I'm doing the work, skill sets, and then how I'm going to go to market. And so once I got to build that forecast, and maybe we stop at the forecast and sort of dive into it a little bit, because there's some important things here.
Well, and maybe even if it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, I think something you said is, I think is so important for people to recognize, and the detrimental actions that come out of panic. And,
yes,
and not absolutely. Just for business, in every situation, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, what are some metaphors you'd use around, you know, because panic for me can do one of two things: makes me overreact or underreact, or, you know, to a situation, right? I know the metaphor I would use is, if I'm feeling panicky and really nervous and fear driven, and I haven't played hockey in years, but when I played hockey, that's when you're going to get injured, because you go into the corner, you're tense, you're tight. You can't pick up the puck. You don't skate the same way. You get hammered. You get an injury, right? And so, in other words, it works exactly opposite to what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to dive into the literature here, most people know it as fight or flight, but they miss the last one, which is fight, flight, or freeze. And what I'm seeing almost everywhere is the freeze. People are literally frozen. They don't know what to do. They know they need to do 1,000 things, and they're not moving. And so they're sitting here. And then when they finally do move, they're moving based on emotion, and they've shut down all logic, creativity, et cetera. So what I'm going to give you is a series of threes, but this series of three can guide all decision-making: safety, liquidity, creativity. That's what business owners need to go through as they're looking at their next options. Is it safe? Is it going to keep my cash flow where it needs to be? Because we're back to cash accounting for most businesses. And what kind of creative answer can I have to this, right? That's, and hopefully you can get out of the fight, flight, or freeze and move into a calmer space where you can just say, hey, listen, like the only way through this is likely not in the fear-mongering scarcity mentality. It's going to come over from the abundance. It's going to come over from seeing the world and being of service to it now, because there are too many people scared right now.
Right. So, I think that's what Greg, you naturally do. You're good at, clearly a couple minutes ago, you got there. And it's awesome. And it's a real strength you have. And I really admire that. He was out, by the way, Matt, filming himself, in front of his house, and showing Moosehead products and all this kind of stuff in his creative space. Awesome. And that's why we love Greg.
Canoeing on my part of the river where yours is completely covered in ice.
Yeah, exactly. And then but to acknowledge that not everyone has been able to get there or can get there at this point, and we just have to help work them through it, I think is what you're saying with what you're describing. Eh, Matt?
Yeah, no question. And you know, the reality is the world that you knew 3 weeks ago is not coming back ever. It just isn't. So to think that it is you got to stop that because, you know, so the spread of virus in the workplace, the common flu was responsible for billions of dollars lost in productivity. The estimate's about $25 billion in the U.S. So this was already a problem. It was just a silent problem. Now it's not so silent. So the workplace and the way we deliver value and the way we deal with physical distancing, and I'm saying that because I hate the term social distancing because it suggests we shouldn't be social. And Jesus, we need that more than ever right now. We need to find a way to connect even though we can't hug right now. So as we move to physical distancing, that's going to dominate the workplace, right? And the other thing is this is going to last for a considerable period of time, which means your customers' buying habits are going to change forever. Right. So your market, the market you came from, will not exist when we come out the other side of this. It may exist for some parts, but forever, your customers' buying habits have changed. Right. If you do read anything on habit creation, it's about 66 days to create a new habit. But as we come out of this, until we have a vaccine, people are still going to they're going to be fearful of this thing. And rightfully so, because it transfers quick. Right. So. Anyway,
as you're speaking, I got an email this morning from Seth Godin's blog, and just let me read just a couple sentences. The title is everything going to be okay? And then he goes, that depends. If we mean, is everything going to be the way it was and the way I expected it to be? The answer is no. The answer to that question is always no. It's always has been. If we mean, is everything going to be the way it's going to be? Then the answer is yes, of course. Yeah. If we define whatever happens, if we define whatever happens as okay, then everything will be okay. Given that everything is going to be the way it's going to be, we're left with with actually something very useful and productive and productive. So I think this is really a neat way of looking at it. And it with all due respect to all of us who are going through pain right now, many others at significantly more significant amplitude, at the same time acknowledging that it's not going to be the same going back, but are we going to be ready for that next landscape, you know? And I think that's kind of what you're saying, Matt.
No question. I mean, if you look at the past, if you want to, I love Seth, and I mean that sums up exactly what we were just talking about. When you look at your customer and you look at your customer before, there was a problem you solved and there was a value to solving that problem. Well, the problem that you solved cannot be solved in the same way going forward. I'm watching wonderful little restaurants become delivery services overnight. They have to. They don't have any choice, right? So the problem they used to solve was a space for people to gather with great food. And now they're solving, how do I pay quickly and get safe delivery? They're not equipped to do that one. So overnight they're having to do that, right? So this comes back to the problem you solve, the value of it, and how's that going to change? Because it is going to change. And it's going to change quick and it's not going back. It just isn't.
So what are some of the steps that that you've been able to boil down for how you're leading some of your clients?
So remember this, you're looking for a forecast and then you're looking for a plan and then you want to execute on that plan. So if we look through the forecast, you got to forecast your customers. And as a result of your customers and when they're going to do work, you got to get a cash flow forecast. And the cash flow forecast starts with what I have in the bank and what I have access to now. And then what money is going to come in. Right. And there's a lot of businesses who aren't going to be able to pay. We can touch on AR later because I think we better get real human on AR. I mean, maybe we should touch on that right now because this is the reality is if we go into that fear place, if we go into that scarcity place and we start hoarding and we say, I'm going to collect all the money I can, and I'm going to pay no one. That just makes the problem worse. Right. So if you got AR and you can look at these things, there are some people who can wait for payment because they have big war chests and there are other people who can't. And I think in every case, you owe that person a conversation on your payables. And on the receivables, if you're trying to collect them, doing this is the best way you can do it. But let's get eyeball to eyeball, because when we're staring eyeball to eyeball, we can have a conversation. So that brings us to the cash forecast. So customer forecast, cash forecast, and then you're going to want to look at the constraints in your business, right? I talked to you about having to lay off 5 people. I talked to you about reduced hours for a number of other people in our organization. That has changed the dynamic of our team, which means our capability pre-COVID and our capability now based on processes and people has changed dramatically. Do you know your single points of failure, right? And the odds are between 30 and 70% of us are going to contract this virus in some way. So the odds are a chunk of your team is going to contract the virus and they're going to be out for a period of time. Where are your single points of failure? I need to do the forecast for that. I got to be ready, because at the end of the day, the business has got to survive to the other side of this so that it can employ people and grow again. If the business goes down, you know, you're toast. Right. That's why you got to have this. That's why you got to have this forecast and really understand, what does it look like? What does it look like short term? What does it look like midterm? What does it look like long term? Right. So that's how we're helping companies get to the forecast. Then once you get to the forecast, you want to move on. You got to get to the plan. And when you get to a plan, it's simply 3 parts. What are you cutting? What are you controlling? And what are you continuously improving? Right. In 2008, when Toyota hit the mass recession, the Great Recession, the other automakers cut the night shift. Toyota, with a big war chest of cash, brought the night shift in and said, we're going to put you on improvement. And for almost 2 years, they kept almost every full-time employee and put them on improvement. And when they came back online, when the economy finally came back online, I think it was 19 months later, when the economy came back online, they just roared ahead of everybody. Because what they had done is they had used the theory of forecasting constraints. They then put their people on improvement and improved those constraints. And they were a well-oiled machine. And everybody who had cut was scrambling to get resources on the rebound. Mm-hmm. So everybody's going to go through a hockey stick. You're going to see business go down, and then you're going to see it ramp back up. And you're not going to be the average of the economy, right? It's going to be seasonality is going to hit you. It depends on what kind of cleanliness you need to get back to give people security. You're not going to be the average of this economy. You're going to have different things you got to look at, but where can you invest on in improvement right now, right? If you have some money, IKEA is doing it right now. You go to the webpage of IKEA, they're doing exactly that. They have not let anybody go yet, and they have shut the stores down. They are focusing on delivery and improvement. It's amazing. It's amazing to watch what the high-performing organizations do in these times versus everybody else while they're panicking. Right. So you get your plan. You get your plan of cut, control, and continuously improve. With that plan, you need to then sequence the actions. What am I doing in what order? One of those actions is going to be talking to your bank. The conversation with your bank is a lot easier when you have a forecast and you can tell them what you're about to do. Okay, so I get a forecast, I tell them what I'm going to do. What I would suggest to everybody is get to the bank and get as much liquidity as you can. The rates are low and they're going to look at how they're doing this whole thing 30 days from now. So what they're accepting today is going to change in 30 days. So get in that lineup. But if you get in that lineup with a story, I can tell you how long it took us. It took us 20-minute conversation with both banks. Why? Because we had everything ready for them. It didn't take 7 conversations, forecasts, et cetera, going back and forth. It took 20 minutes. That's what it took, because we knew how to talk to the banks. That was with the plan. Now you sequence that plan. Now you get to execution. And when you get to execution, this is the golden rule in execution in times of crisis. Speed up the number of meetings. Increase the frequency. If you used to have a meeting once a month, have it once a week. If you used to have it once a week, have it once a day. If you used to have it once a day, have it twice a day. The reason for this is clarity of communication, alignment with your colleagues, and clarity over what you're going to act on that next day in the different parts of the business, right? You just heighten it up. Just ramp it up. So, and the reason for that is in our organization with 25 people, we can't have 7 narratives. There's too much uncertainty in the world right now. We need one narrative. Literally, after I get off this phone call with you, I will be on our daily plan, do, check, act with all 25 people on a Zoom screen. And we'll be going, how did today go?
Awesome.
Right.
Well, actually, I just wanted to get back to critical points of failure.
Yep.
You know, and it's interesting. And I think, you know, particularly like there's a lot of small business, and I had a conversation with a company we do a lot of collaborating with and do a lot of business development with. And the leader of that company said, you know, if I get sick, you know, because we do so much business development together, you know, her request was, you know, would I step in and support her? And I said, absolutely. Yeah. Like, or I guess her team in this case. And it was, what an honor to be asked. And I just thought to myself, then all of a sudden it just like a lightning bolt. Shit. What am I going to do? What happens if I get sick? It just, for whatever reason, I had not thought of that and that is a huge point of failure in my business. So that caused me to have some conversations with some people, not so much operationally, but more on the business development side. So, anyways, just kind of a quick story around that. So what are you, maybe I'll stop there. And Greg, does that resonate with you at all?
Well, it's just interesting. Our weekly team meeting has now become daily, every single morning at 9:30. Full team. Interestingly, our weekly management meeting, didn't include everybody because we have people working in the field and editors and, you know, that sort of thing. But this is all hands on deck, every single person, every single day. And I like what you're saying about the PDCA, the Plan, Do, Check, Act. Meet up at the end of the day. We're not doing that right now, but what a neat thing. But in a way we are doing that because the next morning we're doing that essentially. How did yesterday go?
Greg, but I'm going to jump in there because here's what happens is over a 24-hour period, just look up Ebbinghaus's curve. What you experience that day, you will forget about 60% of it by the time you get up the next morning and in a heightened environment. So that's why we're doing the check act at the end of the day, because I want to know what moved. Right. And I want to get the sense for the team. That's why, because I can wake up with ambition and motivation to face the day, but I want to see the looks. And, you know, most of my check act in the first week was like every single day for the first week, it was, how you doing?
Yep.
And we went through every team member. Right. And at that point, there were still 30 of us. And did it take an hour? Yep. But I felt that we had to know how they were doing personally, because to know, you know, this is unseeable outside, and it's terrifying for some people who have, especially people who are living close to the elderly, people who have people in their family who this could impact more drastically. And so for me, it was really important to get to there. But anyway, I digress. But I'll bring you back to the check act at the end of the day allows you to capture the memories of the day in a way you won't be able to in the morning.
Great point. Great point, Matt. I'll be implementing that. I think that's fantastic. Thank you for that. And
Matt, is that invoiceable to Greg?
Yes,
that piece of advice.
I can try, but my guess is it's not going to be collectible until about 2023. So,
oh no, Greg's got some cool stuff going on. You'll be
Greg's
good on
liquid
that.
Now, right?
That's yeah. Good. Yeah. You know what's interesting, Matt and Dave. We're far from liquid, but it was really cool to see our team last week get focused, because what our brilliance is right now is telling stories with animation. And we've sold a ton of it within the last week. We've been doing animation for years, but that's not our flag. We're not an animation house. However, we've been selling animation for a decade. And I really feel that for our company, for survival, it's shifting the expectation of what a film looks like. And I even pulled out this awesome little animation from, I say 5 years ago we did, called Toonies, talking about how Hemmings House can make these, we made one for you, Dave, make these little 2-minute animations that are just as impactful. They look
I was just going to say, you know what, and you'll appreciate this, Matt, Greg and his team did one for me in 2013. It's called The Leadership Ride. And ironically, it's about leadership in turbulent times, and it's the metaphor is the airplane. And I think it's a kind of a neat example of the work you guys do, Greg. I know it's 6 years ago, and you're always, you know, you're a perfectionist, so you want the perfect video to come up. But I think we should share it, because the other thing about it is, from a leadership perspective, it's doing all these things, but what we talk about in that video. And what I'm finding from a coaching perspective is, in the turbulent times, panic is the wrong thing. So if the oxygen mask pops out, you want to start as a leader, often, or at least a lot of people's inclination is put masks on everyone else.
Yeah.
And the idea that we got to put a mask on ourselves to put masks on others, and, you know, and the logic around that, which is more of a logical, practical, calm solution to the panic. So it's just, it's funny you brought that up. And it's, I've shared that with a lot of clients, and I get a lot of good feedback, and you guys did a really good job on that.
Dave, funny you say that, Lisa. So you know Lisa Hayden well, Dave. And,
yeah.
And since the last time I've been on this, I wanted even more self-awareness and self-reflection. So I've hired Lisa as a coach in the last little
bit.
And,
great coach.
And yeah, she's fantastic. And she checked in on me. She goes, "How you doing?" And it was a coaching. I literally had a coaching meeting with her a week before this disaster happened. And every problem that I chatted with her about is no longer a clear and present issue. But the one thing she reminded me of is I couldn't lead an organization if I couldn't lead myself. And really to look in the mirror and go, what do you need in terms of for your own health to be at your best? And that was a very timely meeting because, you know, I've been training for marathons and I've never run as much as I've run here in the last little bit. But making sure to get out for that 30 to 60 minute run every day has kept me sane through this whole thing.
Yeah.
And you know,
so she, you know, she did what good coaches do is she said, "Hey, Matt, get the oxygen mask on and then you'll be able to assist and start putting them on the rest of the team." Because everyone's dealing with this differently. As you know, there's a range of emotions. I'm with some peer groups I'll even think of the roster coaches we got on, you know, some of them just come back from Canada when we did, there was a coach that was in Portugal. Someone else was in Rome, another in Florida, you know, and we're all kind of coming back to the country and you could see in the how everyone's wearing this differently. So, so I'm really happy to hear that's great. And, you know, we've noticed that, people like yourself and people that understand what coaching is and the value, those calls, there's been an uptick for sure. And what an honor to be able to provide that service. So that's fabulous.
Well, the irony is it's so important right now. And the best have always done this, that in time of crisis, you step back and look at yourself and then you look at the organization before you start making decisions. And if you don't do it in that order, you're going to run into problems that you didn't foresee, and they're going to hit you twice as hard once they come to fruition.
Right on.
Well, Matt, this is awesome. As usual, the third time we get to talk with you, the second time humans can hear it.
Fully recorded.
Don't know what happened on the first one, but let's just consider that early day learnings. But this has been excellent and so timely. We do thank you, Matt. What's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
So yeah, I was hoping you'd allow me to jump in here at the end. The one thing is we have gone completely free in terms of facilitating these sessions, for small and micro businesses. And so every day at 1 PM next week, Monday is all about the intro to this. Tuesday is all about the forecast. Wednesday is about the plan. Thursday is about how to execute. Friday from 9 a.m. to 12 is facilitated. If you go to simplicity.ca, it's right on the front page. We know how important this is. There are so many small businesses who are not going to make it. And we just went, as soon as we realized how big this was going to be, we just immediately made everything free. Said, let's go. This is not the time to hide behind a paywall. Let's help as many as we can. And so that's, you know, info@simplicity.ca goes straight to my inbox. Simplicity.ca has the sign up for the free webinars, and they're interactive webinars, 30 minutes and then 30 minutes of Q&A.
And awesome. Simplicity is SYMPLICITY.
Yeah. SI will get you there too.
Oh, okay. Oh, well done. Of course we should. That's contingency planning right there.
That was an expensive mistake a long time ago.
I bet. Matt, you're a good man. Appreciate what your leadership you're showing for our region. Let's get this out far and wide so people can see it. There's some other resources, and there's a lot of people out there helping, but I just think this is so practical. You look good, by the way. So you're obviously getting your exercise in. You look healthy, and you wouldn't even know that we're going through this crazy time.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Awesome. All right, brother.
Have a great one. Thanks so much.
See you guys. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Boiling Point. Remember to rate and subscribe to us on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Boiling Point Pod. To see more from Dave Vail, check out leadershipunleashed.ca or visioncoachinginc.com and on Twitter at Dave_Vail. And to catch up with Greg, visit hemmingshouse.com and at Greg Hemmings on Twitter. Thanks for listening, and remember, keep that pot boiling.
Hi, this is Candace Sampson, the voice behind What She Said. My show is your destination for stories that not only entertain, but also educate and empower. Every week, I spotlight strong female voices from across Canada, women who are changing the narrative and driving change. Don't miss out on these inspiring episodes. Subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon Music, or head over to whatshesaidtalk.com.
What She Said can also be heard on blasttheradio.com, Mondays at 5 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. That's blasttheradio.com.
It's time to dive into the stories that truly matter.